heard about the goodness of goji? Now experience it for real. 100% wildcrafted, sun-dried goji berries from the ancient valleys of the Himalaya Mountains. Here's the deal. You get 10 times more raw goji fruit than what is contained in a leading brand of goji juice for half the price. $19.95 per single pound of pure sun-dried goji berries, or 12 pounds for only $120. You do the math. And as an American Voice radio special, 4Spectrum will waive the shipping fee. Go to www.4spectrum.us or call 1-800-581-8906. That's 1-800-581-8906, or visit www.4spectrum, that's the number 4spectrum.us. And don't forget to tell them you heard it right here on ABR. 4Spectrum Natural Vitamin E is the highest potency full-spectrum vitamin E complex, not the DL synthetic chemical form, and not esterified. 4Spectrum Vitamin E contains high alpha, preventing platelet aggregation and dissolving internal blood clots, and high gamma, neutralizing smoke, fumes, waste, and other harmful free radicals inside your body. Doctors report relief from angina, painful leg cramps, strokes, fibrocystic breast tumors, circulation problems, and much more. Get one bottle for $35, two bottles for only $60 post-pay. Restore this vital nutrient removed from your food supply through processing. Read more at 4spectrum.us. That's number 4spectrum.us. Call 1-800-581-8906. That's 1-800-581-8906. Order yours today.
Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings and welcome. This is Pastor Dan, and we're broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas. Excuse me if I seem a little giddy or whatever. I've just had news that one of our members in our congregation in Wichita has just had a baby boy about 5 o'clock, and my wife went over there, and she sent the pictures from her camera, phone, or whatever to my box, and I just now looked at the new baby boy, and so I'm kind of elevated from that. But getting on with it anyway, so praise the Lord. Congratulations, Serena, and I don't know the name of the boy yet, but we'll find out. To those that have been asking, RG Stairs court date is November 29th. But from what I hear, there's a possibility there may be a plea bargain in the work because the prosecutors or something are worried about sending him to jail for a long period of time because it would be the equivalent of a death sentence because he is so old. We'll keep you informed on that. So I'll have a prayer and we'll open this up and we'll get our guest tonight, David Ells, with us. You with us today, David?
Yes, I am.
Okay, praise the Lord. I'm going to say a prayer real quick. And why? We say that real quick. You can't rush a prayer. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll open this up. I'm sorry if I seem a little bit funny. I'm just ecstatic. We've been waiting for this baby for some time, and I'm just really ecstatic over it. Okay. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father God, first off, I ask that you bless Serena in the hospital and that baby, Father. New birth is just such a wonderful thing, Lord, and we know it's a blessing from you. So thank you for that, and thank you for making it an easy birth and getting mom there in time and safe. Lord, I ask that whatever comes out on this program is what you want to come out and not what we want to come out, but what the people need. So in Yeshua HaMashiach's name we pray, amen and amen. Well, welcome, David.
Thank you, Pastor Dan. God bless you.
Well, I pray your last week's been good to you.
Yes, it has. Been very good.
Well, praise the Lord. I got some good comments about last week's program. They really enjoy listening to you. Have you ever given any more further thought about, I know you was trying to decide with the idea of whether you was going to have your own radio program. Have you come to any conclusion on that yet?
Well, I'm sure of it, but I'm sure of it because the Lord has spoken to us and given us dreams and visions about it. We're just not sure exactly when. but we think it's very, very soon.
Well, praise the Lord. You'd greatly bless the people because, you know, I can tell because I get feedback and people, let alone what my heart feels. You know, I know if you were on there, I'd listen to you. I enjoy listening to you when we have the program. But from the comments that I get from, like from one supporter, he emailed me. He was, you had sent him some of your tapes, and he told me he was very ecstatic that he was glad that you were on our program because he enjoyed listening to you. And so that'll be a wonderful thing. I just pray that that Lord's will that it's soon. But so tonight we've been talking about, or you've been basically explaining to us how we would get through the wilderness, the tribulation. And mm-hmm. Are you going on with that or what?
Yes, I think I will.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Well, as I've shared quite a few testimonies of provisions that the Lord has given me over the years, because as I shared with you last time, the Lord told me many, many years ago that he was bringing me through a wilderness so that I could tell his people that he still supplies all their needs there.
Amen.
And basically, it is the Christian walk, to walk in the wilderness. It's a place where you trust in God by faith to receive your provision from him and not from the world and not through the world and not the methods of the world, like the Israelites did when they were in Egypt. And,
right.
And actually, when they fell out of trust with God, they always cried to go back to Egypt, where the Egyptian or the old man, the world, provided for them. But yet God's desire for his people is to have a people who walk by faith.
Yes, and, amen.
And the awesome promises that God's given us, we really are without excuse.
That's
but
right.
Some people would say, David, what makes you think that you've actually been in a wilderness? Because, I mean, you've been a pastor of a church. You've led God's people for some time. Let me tell you the rules that God put in my heart from the very beginning, because he really did want to prove something. He never, ever let me take up an offering for myself, just for other people.
Amen.
And we don't do that very often. It's just when there's a need that comes, you see. I've never taken up an offering. I've never told people my needs. I don't preach gimme sermons at all. I don't get any money from the government. I haven't gone to doctors or medicine. I haven't had any insurance except what the law states in this state, which is doesn't cover you, it covers the other guy.
Right.
Just so many ways the Lord would not permit me to put my trust in men so that I would have these testimonies. I've shared with you testimonies about how, and besides, the testimonies I've shared so far and the ones I'm going to share have nothing to do with a congregation providing for me. They have, I mean, multiplying food, you know, what has that got to do with them? That's a provision that doesn't cost you anything or anybody else anything, you know.
Right, amen.
Or being translated to go somewhere in order to preach on the other side of the world. I mean, that would be a pretty expensive plane trip, right?
Yo.
It didn't cost me anything. or walking through a fire without being burned, or raising the dead, or seeing the awesome signs and wonders and provisions that I've seen. They have nothing to do. You were talking about the baby being born. Well, look, all my babies were born at home, except for the first one. Mm-hmm. And she's 34 years old. And right after that, I've had four more children. They were all born at home, and some of them needed miracles. And they all got miracles. They all got healing. They all got deliverance. I want to tell you, I'm not saying this to give any credit to myself. It is totally the grace of God. But what he wanted to prove to me so I could share with you was that there is nothing to fear about this place that we're going, folks. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be an awesome provision from God. He's going to prove himself to his people as the Jehovah Jireh, their provider, you see. Let me tell you one revelation the Lord gave to me. I've been receiving word of knowledge and word of wisdom for 30 years. And I'm going to tell you one revelation that the more you think on it, the more it's going to explode your knowledge of what's going to happen in the end time. The Lord spoke to me, and he said, everything that happened in the Gospels and in the book of Acts is going to happen again in the end time, except the cast of characters is multiplied many times over. You understand? What God is saying here, he's made a prophecy out of the Gospels and the book of Acts. Let me explain it to you. Because when you see this, you're going to understand how God's going to provide for his people. in the Gospels, Jesus came. Now, the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 7 that he was a sign. Actually, the word is uth. It means an omen, a sign of something to come. And Jesus came, and he provided for the disciples and provided for people around him by meeting their needs, whether they were physical or spiritual. He multiplied the fishes and the loaves. He brought the disciples into the desert, which is the same word for wilderness, you see. And he provided for them. He raised up actually two witnesses to go forth into every place that he was about to come. And he sent those disciples out two by two. They were a corporate body of two witnesses that went every place that Jesus was coming to. And they carried on his ministry of providing the needs of the people. Miraculous ministry. Listen, this is going to happen again in Revelation chapter 12. There's a man child that's born to a woman. Let me tell you who that is. It's the first fruits of God's people in these days to come to the image of Jesus Christ, to walk in his steps, and to have his ministry. And that man child fed the woman in the wilderness for 3.5 years, just exactly like Jesus did. Except now we're talking about a many-membered body, just like the woman. Everybody recognizes the woman as a corporate body. Well, the man-child is too, you see, a corporate body. Large, that's the people of God going into the wilderness, did you notice, in Revelation chapter 12, okay? And the man-child provided for them, and in chapter 13, there was the second 3.5 years of the tribulation when the witnesses were doing their work of providing having a war with the beast, exactly like the disciples did in the book of Acts. All that. You see, we've got our own book of Acts coming. Our own book of Acts coming, except it's going to be greater. This time it's going to be the latter rain and not the former rain. And the latter rain's first going to rest upon this man-child, just like it did upon the former rain rested upon Jesus. The man-child's going to pass on this anointing to the disciples, just like Jesus passed it on when he breathed on them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Spirit," and the former rain came upon them. The latter rain is coming upon the church after 3.5 years of education.
Mm-hmm.
We've got an awesome time coming, folks. And the Lord told me, "I'm sending you through a wilderness so you can tell my people that I still supply all their needs there." I shared a few revelations with you of my experiences, and I could do this for several days. It's exciting because when you're in a position of weakness, because you believe the Word of God, you get to see God's power and His miracles. Let me tell you what, the first one we received. This is what started us down the road, actually, I think. My wife, Mary, when we were baby Christians, she had been in a wreck, motorcycle wreck, and her kidneys had been damaged. And so we went to a full gospel church, and they prayed over her. And we didn't know anything about healing. But about a week later, she was walking through the house, and she was saying, "Well, Lord, I saw what it said in your word. By the stripes of Jesus, I was healed," and called for the elders of the church and so on and so forth. And she said, "I don't understand why I'm not healed." And the Lord spoke to her. He said, "If you believe that I've healed you, why are you trying to get healed? Why are you seeking out all that medicine? Why are you doing all these things?" You know what? My wife got a revelation right there. She ran in the bathroom, and she started pouring it all down the commode and flushing it. And immediately she was healed because she realized you don't have to get healing. You have to accept it as a free gift.
Amen. By faith.
You don't have to earn it. You know, the drugs are very expensive, and the doctors are too. And doctors walk by sight. But we're not supposed to. And I'm not talking against doctors for you, those of you that feel like you need to go. But what I'm saying is, hey, in the wilderness, there's going to be a vast lack of that. Any kind of help from the world.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to believe these promises. And anyway, she was standing there, and as she was flushing it, just like a warmth went from her feet to her head and back down, and she knew she was healed. And it was just awesome. You know, we got a revelation. If you believe the Word of God, why do you continue to try to do it yourself? That's what going back to Egypt is. It's going back to trusting in the old man. You know, the Egyptian died in the Red Sea because it was their baptism. But the Israelite came up on the other side because that was the new man, you see. Well, when you go back to Egypt, it's going back to trusting in the old man and salvation by his works instead of God's works. See, the reason God's promises are past tense, by his stripes you were healed, is because when you believe it, there's nothing you can do to bring it to pass except stop, cease from your works, enter into his rest, and thank him for the free gift.
Amen.
And it is a free gift. Everything that God will give you. None of these testimonies I've shared with you have anything to do with trusting in man's efforts, man's ways. Notice that the Lord wanted her to understand, if you believe that I have healed you. Well, that's what we're supposed to believe, folks. It all happened behind us. It all happens back there at the cross, you see. I was praying for a woman one day, and she told me about all the famous ministers she'd gone to. She had two inoperable cancers in her chest. And she said, David, I just don't understand why I haven't been healed. I said, Priscilla, you just told me why you haven't been healed. It came right out of your mouth. Because you believe you haven't been healed. I said, you're looking in the wrong direction. You're expecting God to do something in the future. I said, that's hope, but that's not faith. Faith calls the things that be not as though they were. That's past tense. I said, you need to turn around and look behind you. That's where you got healed. And it was like a light bulb came on in this woman's head. Literally, I saw it when it came on. She says, oh, you know. I said, look, we're going to pray one more time. And this time, no matter what you see or what you feel, accept your healing. And so we did, and you know, she was healed instantly. Both of those tumors disappeared.
Well, amen.
But it was the first time she had ever exercised faith. All the other times she was exercising hope. Salvation doesn't come by hope. Hope is good. Everybody who has faith has hope, but not everybody who has hope has faith. Because faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Faith looks behind you. Hope looks ahead of you, you see.
Right.
We're accepting something that Jesus already accomplished and paid for. Free. It's free. I remember one time when I was going to work, when I lived over in Louisiana, when I worked at Exxon, I had to go to work early one day. I'd forgotten that the night before I came in and my gas tank was empty and I was going to get up the next morning and get gas and go to work. But I found out that I had to be at work earlier. So when I got up, I drove the few miles to the interstate thinking I was going to get gas right there at the interstate. So when I pulled up the gas station, it hadn't opened yet. I looked at my clock and I thought, you know, I've got to be there. So I said, okay, Lord, I'm asking you to put the gas in my tank. So I jumped up on the interstate and took off. You know, it's a good 25, 30 minutes drive down the interstate to get to where I had to go. And my needle was below empty, and I'd already been driving for a couple of miles from my house in that way. So you know how sometimes you get in your car and drive down the road and sometimes the needle will move a little bit. Well,
yeah.
This thing was still below empty, you know. Got up on the interstate and I said, I just started thanking the Lord for putting gas in my tank, you know. And got a little ways down the road and looked down there at the needle and the needle started climbing.
Boy, man.
And it just climbed and climbed. And and then after a while it stopped. I said, hey, Lord, why didn't you fill it up?
Really?
He said, well, I gave you exactly what you needed. So I said, yeah, that's right. I said, I don't always give you what you want. I always give you what you need. I said, yeah, that's right.
That is a real statement of truth. He gives us what we need, but not what we want.
My God shall supply your every need, right?
So, yes, amen.
And even the place of being there without the gas was what I needed because, you know, I needed to learn to walk by faith and I needed to see that I am not limited by the physical for God to supply my needs. I mean, he put that gas in that tank and he's done it for me quite a few times since then. And, I got to work, turned around and came back and that night and never did put any gas in that car for a while, you know, till it was needed. But, you know, and when I moved over here to Florida, there was a time, I went to, since I never told anybody my needs and I never took up an offering and I never told gimme sermons or anything like that, you know, actually people have come into our assembly and sat there and come and sat there for a month or two before they wondered, hey, you people ain't taking up an offering. And how does the pastor make a living? And how do you do this thing? Because nobody would say anything to them, you know.
Right.
And finally they realized, well, we're walking by faith, you know. So, at any rate, I had been driving a car here. It sounds like I'm in desperation all the time. It's not true. The Lord has handsomely provided for me, but he brings you through trials of your faith.
Yes,
you know, just like he did everybody in the Bible. If you put yourself in a position of weakness, that's where you get to see these miracles, you see. So I was driving, and I ran out of money. Didn't need any money for anything but gas. But here's the thing. I didn't get the money for the gas, but I kept getting these calls to go and do this and go and do that. One time, a brother here that comes to our assembly, he drove off the road and got stuck, and he called me and asked me to come and pull him out. Well, I had this big Chevrolet station wagon. The needle was below empty.
Right.
And when he called, I'd been walking by faith, and when he called, the word came to me, well, give to him that asketh of thee. I said, well, okay, Lord. He called, and I know you're going to help me to keep that word and be obedient to that word. So I got in my car and took off. Went down there and pulled him out, never said a word to him, came back, drove that car for a week. Big gas guzzler, you know, big gas guzzler station wagon, you know, because I had five kids, you know. And drove that car for a week like that, never put any gas in it till the money came. Then I put the gas in, you know. God is so awesome, so awesome. I remember one time my kids wanted to go to the beach one time, one of those situations again, you know. And I said, well, we don't have any gas. And they said, well, that's never stopped you before. You know, I was trying to give an excuse because I really didn't want to go, you know. So I said, okay, you got me. So we all got in the car and took off to the beach, which we live over here in Pensacola, so we don't get to go very often. So the gas tank was, it's a pretty good ways from here to the beach, you know.
Right.
To the Johnson Beach that we wanted to go to, it was a pretty good way. So we drove all the way over there just like that. No gas in the tank, you know. Got there. My son was, listen to this, my son was swimming through the water with his goggles on, and a dollar bill floated across in front of his face. and he looked at it, and he picked it out of the water, and it had crustaceans on it, like barnacles on it. It had been floating there for so long, waiting for us to come, you know. But here's the thing, I didn't even use that dollar. We got back in the car and came all the way back home and never put any gas in the car. You know, God is so awesome, so awesome. I shared with you some of the things the Lord told me he was going to do. The things that I've experienced are nothing compared to what God is going to do in the coming tribulation to provide needs for his people. I shared with you one time what the Lord showed me, and that is that he's going to cause crops to spring up overnight. He's going to cause fruit-bearing trees to bear fruit in the middle of wintertime. He's going to do awesome miracles. He's going to cause manna to come down out of the sky to provide for his people. You say, oh, come on, David. Yes, he is. Wait and see.
We got a break for their commercial in the middle here. So
okay.
We'll come back with you, and we'll enjoy it. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back. Grandma used to say, Johnny, eat your greens. She knew something about health that we've mostly forgotten. Most of us get little or no greens daily. Forest Spectrum Chlorella gives 5 times the chlorophyll of any plant on earth for cleansing inside out, and 50 times more lutein than spinach for healthy eyes. All 8 essential amino acids, over 60% high-grade protein, and numerous vitamins and minerals. The cracked cell wall absorbs toxins, even heavy metals, and flushes them out of your system. Forest Spectrum Clean Green Superfood is a whole food concentrate with no negative side effects. 100% plant-sourced dehydrated chlorella pressed into tablets using no binders, fillers, excipients, colorings, or other additives. 1 month supply, $35. 2 months, only $60 postpaid. Read more at 4spectrum.us. That's number 4spectrum.us. Call 903-714-7767. That's 903-714-7767. Order today. Time is money and knowledge is power. That's why you need the Basic Research Library CD from the American Voice now. This CD contains the Federalist Papers, which are the definitive writings illustrating the intent of the Constitution, and the Anti-Federalist Papers, which read like a crystal ball to everything gone wrong concerning the present-day Constitution. This CD also contains Bouvier's Law Dictionary and the Uniform Commercial Code, plus the inaugural speeches of the U.S. presidents, the U.N. Charter, NAFTA, Hitler's Mein Kampf, the full Communist Manifesto, the Patriot Act 1 and 2, the model anti-bioterrorism law, the Homeland Security Bill, the FBI's Project Mendigo, and too much more to mention here. The CD contains over 1,000 files. To order your CD, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call us at 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050 for ordering information. Disease is big business. Approximately 3,500 men, women, and children die of cancer, heart disease, and other killer maladies every day. That is a World Trade Center disaster every single day. Conventional medicine will never provide a cure, but only treat symptoms. All of us have a complete set of lymphatic vessels that parallel the blood vessels. Learn how to properly activate these lymphatic vessels, which will allow the oxygen within your own bloodstream to reach the actual cells and heal your body. Free yourself from pain, loss of energy, disease, and premature death. Stop treating symptoms and learn to heal yourself. Call 1-800-783-5029. That's 1-800-783-5029. That's toll free, 1-800-783-5029. Or go to www.speedhealing.com. That's speedhealing.com.
Lord, this is Pastor Dan, and we are on Messiah's Branch Radio, or Prophecy Hour, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network, when we're speaking with Brother David Ells about getting through the wilderness and getting through in a time of tribulation, living by faith. And praise the Lord, before David gets real started, Brother, you don't mind if I share one little thing with you? The Lord put on my heart.
Yes, sir. There? Go ahead.
Okay, praise the Lord. Back when I first came out of the world, I used to be an outlaw biker, and when I first came out of the world, Satan sent somebody from my past to literally assassinate me. And I told him to leave my house, and the calmest voice that I had ever did for something like this, normally my reaction in a situation where a man would come, it would be by violence, you understand,
mm-hmm.
from the old man. But I had the calmest peace about me, and I just, you know, told him to leave, very calm, and he couldn't figure it out either, but and I told him to leave, and then I turned around as he was going out the door to walk away, and a man pulled a gun out, and he put it up to the back of my head and pulled the trigger, and then boarded out the door, and he wrecked his car on the way to Wichita, hitchhiked the rest of the way in, jumped on a plane to Florida, and he didn't realize that nothing had happened to me. I turned around and looked at my wife, and she was just blank stared. She said, well, that was a blank. And I said, no, that wasn't a blank. And on the other side of me was a telephone. And there's no way that anything, the bullet had blew up the telephone. And there's no way with me between that gun and the phone that it would have had to have gone through me or something. But the Lord miraculously saved me because my work wasn't done yet, my testimony wasn't done, and I reacted instead of out of violence. I didn't react out of violence, but I reacted in peace to this man, and the Lord saved me. And it was really miraculous, and also the bullet just missed my daughter, which was in a crib there. But praise the Lord, I felt the need to share that. It was a real thing, and I don't believe in guns now, you know, in my life. And so we have to rely, that was part of like what's coming, you know, we're going to have to rely on the Lord by faith to protect us during this terrible time that's coming. What do you think?
I believe it, brother. I believe the Lord could have caused that bullet to pass right through you. I don't put anything past God these days, I tell you. He is awesome. He's an all-sufficient Savior. Totally. I mean, if he can translate you, he certainly can make a bullet go through you, right?
Amen. Amen.
He's awesome. You know what we need to do? We need to practice. Folks, listen. You need to practice imagining yourself as being just who that Bible says you are and as having just that authority that Jesus said you had. You know, he said, as the Father sent me, so send I you. Imagine the authority that he gave you over all the power of the enemy and all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believe, and you shall receive. If you can't imagine it, you'll never do it. You need to start doing that. Imagine. You know, the Bible says we behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image from glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18. We behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Listen, we don't live anymore. Christ lives in us. We are his body. What he does in the earth today, he does through us. You see? See yourself as that. When I first started walking in this way as a baby Christian, I told the Lord to please take my hand and teach me how to be a disciple and talk to me. And you know, he's really done that. I can remember when my oldest girl was just a little girl, and we took her, we homeschooled all of our children, but the first thing we did was take her to a little K-5 kindergarten, pre-kindergarten.
Right.
And I remember dropping her off one day and going home and coming back to pick her up. And on the way back to pick her up, I got within, I don't know, 2 or 3 blocks of her school, and my car died. And so I tried to start it, and within a minute or two, the battery ran down. And so I waited a second, tried it again, and you know how if you wait a second or so, a battery will build back up just a little bit, and it's tried it again, and just ran it down to nothing. There was just nothing there. And there was a storm blowing up. And I got out of the car. And I thought, well, I better go down there. She'll be expecting me, you know, and nobody will be there. So I figured I'll walk down there and pick her up, you know, and we'll walk back. When I got out of the car, it was just, the sky was just totally black. And you could tell that the bottom was going to fall out any minute, you know. And it was one of those things. And I did. I took a few steps away from my car, and literally the bottom fell out. It was one of those just drenchers, you know. And the Lord spoke to me in that still, small voice, and he said, why don't you command that to stop? And I remembered what I'd asked the Lord. Lord, take me by the hand. Teach me to be a disciple. Teach me how to exercise this authority that you've given to us, Lord. And that thought came into my mind, and I just waved my hand at the sky, and I said, stop, in the name of Jesus. And you know, that water, that rain cut off like you cut it off with a pair of scissors across the sky. Just, that was it. It just cut it off.
Praise the Lord.
And I continued, well, it was still black, but there was no rain falling, none whatsoever.
Amen.
And, of course, I was pumped up. You know, I was, whoa, thank you, Lord. You know, I continued my walk on down to pick up my daughter. And when I picked her up, she was just a little girl. I said, I related to her what had happened, you know. And I said, Deborah, God can do that. He can start that car. And I related to you the other day. But he told me that people were going to be driving cars in the tribulation period without gas and without water and without batteries. And that was a word that he gave me more recently.
Mm-hmm.
But I had an experience there because I told her, I said, you know, when we get back, we're going to lay hands on that dashboard. We're going to command that car to start in the name of Jesus. And it's going to start. She was all for it. You know how kids are. You know, they're childlike.
Amen.
They got childlike faith.
I
had my kids pray over so many things. I mean, washing machines and refrigerators and people and dogs. And listen, miracles happen because they expected it. And many times I told them, point your hand at those clouds and command that rain to stop, and they would, and it would stop.
Yes, amen. That childlike faith, they don't know that they can't do that until somebody tells them, well, you can't be doing that or something like that. And it, you know, comes in and wrecks their faith. But
well, that's what they told me. You know, when I first came to the Lord, they told me, and I didn't do anything but read the Bible. I mean, all I did was read the Bible, but I didn't have any background in religion, you see.
Right.
So I started exercising faith right away and seeing miracles. And the first time I ended up started going to a church, they told me, well, God doesn't do that anymore. I said, well, I'm in the wrong church.
Really?
I'm in the wrong church. This is, you know, and I realized really quickly that there were a lot of Christians that didn't believe God's word, you know. So I thank God he got to me before they got to me. That's the only thing I can say.
Yes, I agree fully.
But anyway, so we did. We walked back and we got in the car and we put our hands on the dashboard and commanded that car to start and run in the name of Jesus, you know, me and my little daughter, you know. And I turned the key over and I just held the key down because that thing started, it had built back up just a tiny bit. But it didn't last very long. It drained very, very quickly, and it went all the way down to nothing, and I wouldn't turn loose of the key. I held on to the key because, you know, the Lord said, when you pray, believe you have received. So I wasn't giving up. I held on to that key even when the motor refused to turn over again. I held on to that key. And then, all of a sudden, that engine started up like a shot, you know. And the Lord wanted it. He wanted to prove to me that it wasn't something natural, like the battery having built back up. He caused it to go all the way down to nothing and then start back up. God is awesome. He's awesome. And he wanted to prove it to me, and he wanted me to be able to pass it on to others. I can tell you, words of faith, your imagination is very, very important. I mean, to behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord is an imagination. He said you'll be transformed into that same image. It's an imagination. You can't look in the mirror and see Jesus' face except by imagination and faith. You know, imagination works with our faith. We've got to be able to consider this thing done and see it as done with the mind of faith, with the eyes of faith, and accept it by faith. God's going to provide for us in the days ahead in this very way, just by standing on his word. Free gifts, free grace. I said too that the Lord was going to cause Christians to blow clouds of poisonous gas away and walk through them. That the Lord told me, you know, he was going to do that. I had experiences like this of seeing clouds move when I blew on them. You know, I remember one time. You know, God's real interested in providing our needs, even if they're simple desires. You know. I remember one time I had been working very hard for a long time, and I decided to take my family down to Pensacola Beach, which is another beach here. And we prayed. We all prayed in the car on the way down there. Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, to find us a place on the beach without a lot of naked people around.
Because
colored underwear doesn't suit me too good.
Yeah.
And I asked him for a place like that. And I said, Lord, and a nice sunshiny day. Well, we got down there, we drove down that beach, you couldn't find a place where there weren't cars on the side of the beach. So finally, we just gave up and walked across the dunes and picked us a place out there, you know? And all the way out there, I was saying, now, Lord, this isn't what we prayed for. This isn't what we prayed for, you know?
Right.
So I walked out there with my family, and we sat down, stretched a blanket out, and the kids went swimming, and I said to the Lord, I said, no, Lord, this is not what I prayed for, and I'm still believing you. You know what? Let me tell you what happened. There was a storm blew up from the Pensacola direction towards Pensacola Beach, which is going towards the Gulf. And literally there was a black thunderhead from horizon to horizon coming right straight at us.
Right.
Pensacola Beach was full. You could look up and down. You could see miles in either direction up and down the beach. There were people out there galore, everywhere, you see. And we were on the beach. And this black thunderhead started coming over Gulf Breeze and coming all the way up to where we were, and you could see it, and everybody started clearing out. The whole crowd started clearing out because it was cracking and rumbling and it was just totally black. And my wife said, we better get out of here. I said, and I felt that little restraint in my heart. I said, no, I think we're going to stay for a while, you know. She just looked at me, you know, and she said it again in about 10 more minutes. She said, we better get out of here. No, it wasn't even that long, I don't think. She said, we've got to get out of here. I said, no. And then the Lord spoke to me. Look, by this time, the people were clearing out all up and down the beach, all up and down the beach. The Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to blow those clouds back in the name of Jesus. So I walked a little bit away from my wife because I didn't want her to see me blowing on the clouds. And I walked down the beach just a little bit, and I just got a lung full and started blowing on those clouds. Let me tell you, they stopped dead in their tracks. The whole thunderhead stopped dead right there, and it started backing up. You ever seen anything like that happen? Started backing up. It backed up over a Gulf breeze and it stayed there. And my wife and my kids were watching it, seeing this. And you know what? We looked up and down the beach. There was nobody on that beach. Not a soul. Not a dog on that beach. It was totally empty. Not a soul. And it was sunshining over our heads. And it was storming in Gulf Breeze and in Pensacola. And nobody could come out on the bridge that came out to the island because they knew it was storming. And nobody came out there to mess with us, and nobody came on the beach because they saw this storm coming, and they thought, well, we better. And it just cleared them out. Our prayers were answered. I asked him for a place where there would be no naked people on the beach,
right,
meaning, of course, in their colored underwear, and a place that was have a good sunshiny day. We stayed there for another hour, and nobody showed up. We stayed there all by ourselves. And just rejoiced in the power of God. We got halfway back over the bridge coming to Gulf Breeze and went into a wall of that storm. Got back to Pensacola. There were trees down. There were awnings down. There were, you know, tornadoes had passed through close to our house. And the kid said, oh, what happened, Daddy? He said, I told him this. I said, I must have blown too hard. We got to laugh about that.
David, the amazing thing about that particular story there is that, you know, he answered your prayers, but he still put you in a position where you still had to stand out there and exercise your faith.
Yeah.
You had to blow the clouds away. You had to remain faithful. And even though that you had asked, and he sent the storm to move it, you still had to exercise your faith.
You always have to act on what God says.
Yes,
if it's what he says in his word and you don't act upon it, you won't see anything. You know, faith without works is dead in itself. I will show you my faith by my works. See, when you start acting on what the Word says rather than what you see with your eyes, that's where miracles come from. And
maybe
it's what God speaks in your spirit or what God's already spoken in the Word. You know, I remember many years ago there was this Logos Rhema doctrine that was going around, and people said, oh, you have to get a personal word from God before you can stand on any of that and believe it, that it's yours. Look, folks, that's a lie. I can tell you right now, there's so many times I haven't heard a thing except I knew what the book said and I knew the authority that God gave me. And I stood on that and spoke and acted on that and saw miracles. And these people that believed this false doctrine, hey, they weren't getting anything like I was receiving.
Right.
I knew it was a lie.
I agree.
I knew it was a lie. You know, everything in this word, when you're humble to it, it becomes a rhema to you. It may be just a logos written on the page, but when you are humble to it, you believe it, and you stand on it, it becomes a rhema to you.
Right.
It's a spoken word to your heart right there because you've received it. It's no longer just on the page. It's written in your heart. And you become that rhema. And so I was having signs and wonders and miracles, and these people were going around saying, no, you got to get a rhema. You got to get a rhema. Well, you know, the guy with an experience is never at the mercy of a guy with an argument, is he?
No.
No, that's right.
You know, well, praise the Lord. You know, it really hits me. It's just the prayer of faith is like, you know, you pray for something, and I just go right on about my business, knowing fully well that it's going to be accepted and done. But, you know, when you start, then the devil always comes and tries to say you're not going to get it and try to take that faith away from you. But praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I learned about casting out demons that way. That the Lord said, you don't have to stand around there and wait till you see them come out. You just tell them to come out and go on about your business. They will. Because if you know you got authority, the devil knows you got authority. And if you don't know you got authority, then he knows. It's kind of like a dog. You know how dogs read humans?
Right.
You know, if you're fearful, they know it. If you have authority, they know it.
Oh, yes.
And the demons are the same way. They know if you know. And they know if you don't know, then they're not worried about you, you know?
Oh, yeah. I agree with that 100,000%. We've dealt with lots of demons in the mission, and there is, in fact, one woman that is demonic possessed, and she's not willing to accept the Lord, and I can just get near. I pull out a ball of anointing and oil and get near her, and the demon in her, she just falls down and starts praising the Lord, and really a miraculous thing.
Well, running a mission like you do, Pastor Dan, listen, I have never cast out more demons than I have when I was preaching at mission churches.
Oh, yeah.
Because these people, I got problems. That's why they're out there on the street.
Right.
And many of them go from mission to mission, and there's something wrong with them. That's why they're out there.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I tell you, I've never cast out more demons in churches than at mission churches. Well, but you're on the front lines there, brother. I tell you, that's true.
Well, you know, the Lord just did a special thing with you and brought you through all these things so you could share at this time with people. I really hope that you and pray that you do get on the radio soon. We still got 5 minutes left.
Okay. Yes, I would like everybody out there to pray for us that we find the right format and the right audience and everything, because we're convinced the Lord is calling us to it. But we've been invited on a lot of radio programs lately, so the Lord's doing that anyway.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, you're welcome back. You know, anytime I got a free schedule and you want to come on, you're welcome back.
Well, great. I appreciate it. I'm not near about through with this sermon.
Okay.
But I'll sit all night and tell you about the miracles that I've seen. You know, I mean, listen. You know, the Lord told me to go turn in my insurance, and I did many, many years ago, and I tell you, I saw some awesome miracles of God. Nobody's ever collected off of me. I've collected off of other people when I didn't have insurance. And, I mean, years ago in Louisiana, you didn't have to have any insurance. And when over here, they made it a law you had to have PIP and PD, which does not protect you. I got that. But still, God had to protect me.
Right.
And you know what? He always has. We went through a storm here, and my vehicle was underneath an awning with other vehicles, and the awning came down, and my vehicle wasn't scratched. Came down right on top of it. Wasn't even scratched, you know.
Praise the Lord. Let's talk about, I've got your website up here. Let's talk a little bit about your website and some of the things that are on here. Number one, I noticed that you've got some materials here, some tapes and things that you do. You charge for these, or how does this work?
No, everything that you get off of my site, you get it for free. If you want to give an offering, that's fine. You know, and the Lord has been faithful enough to provide for us as we go, because we walk by faith. And there's a lot of streaming audio on my site. There's a lot of streaming audio with slides on my site. If you need some of that to share with your neighbors, well, there's a freestuff.com there on my site, and you can go there, and there are volunteers who walk by faith themselves. They're faithful people. They provide this stuff. They copy it. They provide it. They pass it out. And, of course, you can give an offering, and they would very much appreciate that, but if you don't have it, then you get it anyway, and they'll bless you with it.
Free stuff. I use that word stuff a lot. I get in trouble for it sometimes. My English isn't the world's best. I tell people, well, the Lord saved me, and just ain't saved my English yet.
We're kind of like those ignorant fishermen, aren't we, Pastor Dan?
Yes, amen.
You know, I mean, they knew they had been with Jesus, but they weren't college educated people necessarily. You know,
it's amazing how. That's what the Lord had to do. He used unchurched people.
Yes.
That could understand him and exercise their faith. And so that's an amazing thing. That shouldn't that give us a hint what, you know, we can be like? People, I run into the problem so much, they feel like you've got to have 10 tons of doctrines and, you know, before they'll even want to listen to you, you've got to go through all these church schools and everything. And, you know, all they need is the word, and if you can get people to act on the word, it's wonderful. But it's just like those people, you know, the apostles. They were unchurched, and that's why I say it's going to, the people that step out in faith during this time are going to shock people, because it's not going to be the churchianity people.
The Lord is going to pick people that are just like those people. He glories in using weak vessels, so that everybody knows it's him. You know, my power is made perfect in weakness. The Apostle Paul was the exception to the rule. God had to prove he could do it with a theologian.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right.
Most of the disciples were not theologians. You know, they hadn't paid for any college, Bible college certificate.
Right.
And yet they were educated by the Lord himself.
Yes, sir.
And that's exactly what you can be. We have no need that any man teaches. We have an anointing from the Holy One. That's what the Bible says. The Lord will take you by the hand and make you his disciple. All you got to do is ask him to do that and humble yourself to his word, and he will do it.
Praise the Lord. I notice that here it says your Prophecy Club tour schedule. Are you still on tour, or are you done?
I'm going to go on another tour in January the 5th, and then I think another one in April and May. So
in
it's going to be pretty busy here for a while.
But to find out about that, that's going to be the information will be on your website.
It'll be on my website, americaslastdays.com.
And, well, you know, we have
also on the Prophecy Club website.
Okay, amen. Yeah, they send me the notices, and I send them out because I've known Stan since he started the Prophecy Club. We're friends. But this number on here, the reason I'm asking for a phone number or something for you to give out is because a lot of people that listen to radio, not everybody snaps this. They say, well, you can go to the library and get on a website. But a lot of people that listen to radio, let alone this type of radio programs, a lot of them don't even believe in a computer. And so is there a way that they can get a hold of you for people that are just out there listening on the radio that don't touch computers? Do you have a phone number?
My number is 850-453-3074. But don't call it tonight. We're going right into a meeting tonight. So,
right. Oh, well, you know, praise the Lord. I know how that feeling is also. I advertise my phone number, both my phone numbers for anybody to call me. I can't always easily be caught. It's easier to catch me at the mission because I got my cell phone on and it rings right there in my ear, you know.
Yeah.
But we have an answering machine for our home phone because I get calls from all over the world because of our ministry and everything. And so, you know, I just can't grab every phone call. But I do put that option out there because, you know, with radio, there is a lot of people, David, that just do not believe in computers yet. They just don't use them. They're foreign to them or whatever. And so they're listening to us out there on radio.
Yes.
And
I wouldn't have one myself if it wasn't such a big part of my ministry. But I don't have any problem with pornography. I just don't have it, you know. And I believe that people can use things. The TV was thought to be a mark of the beast too, you know.
Right.
And many said that even many, many years ago. But it depends on who uses it and why they use it, you know.
Exactly.
Physical things are just physical things. They are not sin in themselves, you know.
Right.
They can become sin.
We have to put them in motion.
Yes.
To make them work. Well, I'm going to have to say goodbye to you. I really enjoyed having you, and you'll come back sometime. If you get a special message or something that you want to relate to the people, just send me an email or call me or something, and we'll get that done. So thanks so much, my brother, and peace be with you.
All right. God bless you.
God bless you
too, folks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, Saints, that's about it for this week. We've got to get off the air. Pray about supporting our Wichita mission. It is a ministry of faith. So pray about it, please. We take care of the homeless and the poor and everything. And so we need your help to do that. In the meantime, Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Lord bless you and keep you and that his face shines upon you and be gracious to you and give you peace. This is Pastor Dan saying shalom until next week.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch. You've heard about the goodness of goji. Now experience it for real. 100% wildcrafted, sun-dried goji berries from the ancient valleys of the Himalaya Mountains. Here's the deal. You get 10 times more raw goji fruit than what is contained in a leading brand of goji juice for half the price. $19.95 per single pound of pure sun-dried goji berries, or 12 pounds for only $120. You do the math. And as an American Voice radio special, 4Spectrum will waive the shipping fee. Go to www.4spectrum.us or call 1-800-581-8906. That's 1-800-581-8906, or visit www.4spectrum, that's the number 4spectrum.us. And don't forget to tell them you heard it right here on ABR. Whether you call it commercial redemption or accept it for value, The Commerce Game Exposed is the book that will help you understand this process. The fact is, there is no lawful money in circulation. The explanation and details as to how this happened are enlightening, and the instructions concerning what one can do with this information are detailed and easy to understand. Utilizing this process is not for everyone, but learning how lawful money has been turned into commercial debt instruments should be of concern to everyone. The Commerce Game Exposed book is a good tool to learn the commercial nature of the New World Order. To order the Commerce Game Exposed, go to www.theamericanvoice.com or call 541-826-9050. That's 541-826-9050.